Hello, listeners. I'm Allie, and this is Quad Pro Quo. As always, I'm joined by my three co-hosts, Tammy.
Hello.
Matt.
Hello there.
And Guido.
Yep.
We are a film podcast inspired by the quid pro quo scene in Silence of the Lambs. Each month we pick a theme, and each week one of us picks a movie that falls within that theme. And we are starting the month of March, and the theme is, these are their movies.
For 26 seasons, the cast of Law & Order SVU has been divided into two separate but equally important groups. Celebrity guest stars that are already famous, and guest stars who are not famous yet. These are their movies.
Dun dun dun.
Yeah! As you all know, because I talk about it on every episode, I have two great loves, movies and Law & Order SVU.
So
does Andy Cohen know that you didn't list him?
And Andy Cohen.
I was about to say, I know I'm at least ranking number four on this.
You only like him on New Year's.
So the theme, again, is these are their movies. Dun, dun.
Dun, dun. Dun.
Okay, there we go. So everyone was tasked with picking a movie that has a guest star of SVU on it. And there were rules. You cannot do a main cast member. So no Ice-T, no Richard Belzer, no Mariska Hargitay.
Yo, that's some bullshit. We could have done some totally awesome Ice-T movies.
Yes. But you also couldn't do a recurring guest who plays the same character. So that eliminates Viola Davis, Andre Brower,
Jerry
Wong, Jerry Lewis, tons and tons. What you could do...
J.K. Simmons.
Yes, you couldn't...
These are all people?
Yes. What you can do is pick a guest actor who has been on the show more than once, as long as they played a different character, which happens quite a bit.
I was really stoked because I was hoping Guido would do Kyle MacLachlan.
Yes, you said that in the last episode.
I know, bud.
It's okay.
There was child murder in one of those
episodes.
Well,
yes, you had two episodes you could pick from. The other one was loosely based off Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I don't think I would, do right by 84 Dune. We would need to be here for many hours talking about it. And then, nobody wants to fucking talk about Showgirls. I mean, I'll watch it.
I want to talk about Showgirls. All the time.
You could have done, another movie he was in by your favorite director. You could have done Blue Velvet.
No.
You could have done Twin Peaks Fire.
The movie was
Walk
dog shit.
Me.
Speaking of Blue Velvet, the Oscars were this past Sunday, and Isabella Rossellini wore a Blue Velvet dress, which I thought was kind of cute. And she brought Laura Dern as her date, which I thought was kind of sweet, too. And Anora won.
Timothée looked like a stick of butter.
I believe Conan said, "You can now go running at night. You'll be okay."
I thought he looked like the Day Man.
He was golden.
Well,
it was banana yellow.
Yeah, he looked like Charlie Day from the Day Man, the Night Man Cometh.
Who was Boo Barella, his date?
It's a Jenner. It's Kylie Jenner.
Oh.
They've been dating for like 2 years now.
And he hasn't knocked her up yet?
He's hopefully smart and not doing it. So.
Yeah, you get it. Yeah.
Just mouth stuff.
Well, at the SAG Awards, they did a special little... It was either the SAGs or the Globes.
Remembering the people celebrities have killed with their cars?
Yes,
where's Matthew Broderick?
It was that. No, it was...
It was the Golden Globes, and they raised drinks to...
Yes, thank you.
Well, no, you didn't remember which one it was. Helped you out.
Okay, so at the Globes, they did this special little bit of people who are famous now who have been on Law & Order, or just Law & Order. It wasn't just SVU.
Mm.
And they did this drink if you've been a guest star, and half the room basically drank because it was Timothée has been on it.
Really?
On regular Law & Order.
Oh, okay.
Zoe Saldana, Elizabeth Banks. They just showed all these people. It's wow, they really are a lot of people who have been on a Law & Order at some point.
Well, yeah, because, we just said, SVU has been on for 26 seasons. Law & Order was on for 20-something prior to SVU.
20, yes.
Mm-hmm. It's a staple. It's basically, when you think about it, it's the American equivalent of Doctor Who.
Pretty much.
Where everybody who's everybody always got their start on Doctor Who over in England.
I was thinking about it earlier. I was it used to be that you got your start in a horror movie or a soap opera.
Yes,
now
soap
it's
opera.
A horror movie or Law & Order. Okay, well, basically, we're going to talk a little bit about the episode that
dun, dun.
The guest actor was
dun,
in,
dun.
And then the movie. So here's some fun facts about Law & Order SVU, everybody. Are you ready? SVU premiered on September 20th, 1999. So it has been on. It just started its 26th season. Did you know that rapper Ice-T was only supposed to be on four episodes? He was just supposed to be a guest star.
I feel like you've told me that before.
Yes. As Odafin Tutuola, he is now starting his 25th season. And he is the highest paid actor on TV, I believe.
Hell yeah.
Wow.
Especially the highest paid black actor, but definitely the highest paid actor, I believe. Richard Belzer, RSVP. He left the show in 2016. He played Detective John Munch on SVU and 9 other TV series.
Is that the guy with the glasses?
Yes.
Okay.
It's been rumored that he's now become the, like, anchor being of modern-day television. Because, like, he was attached to so many shows as Detective Munch.
Well, yeah, I watched him on Homicide. I loved Homicide. So Oscar-winning guest actors who have been on SVU include Mahershala Ali, Viola Davis, Jeremy Irons, Robin Williams. Tony Award-winning guest stars include Angela Lansbury, David Diggs, Audra McDonald, Rita Moreno, Bernadette Peters, and Billy Porter. And SVU has won 6 Emmy Awards, so it doesn't really have a great track record in winning awards, including one in 2006 for Mariska Hargitay as Outstanding Lead Actress in a Drama Series.
Were there any? There has been an EGOT. There has been an EGOT.
Whoopi was on it.
That's what I was about to say. I was like, is there been? And I'm like, yep, Whoopi.
I think Viola technically is an EGOT now, too, I think.
Tammy, who's that blonde woman I really don't like? She's the mom in his movie.
Toni Collette?
Yeah. Has she been on the SVU?
Not on the SVU. I don't know if she's been on regular Law. Okay. She's also Australian, so probably not.
She's got an Australian face.
I love Toni Collette.
I know you do.
She looks like she was raised in a very dangerous area.
I'm really looking forward to next week. She used to have really bad teeth,
and then she got them fixed.
No, she didn't. It's all CGI.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Well, the episode that I chose is called Girl Dishonored, and it's season 14, episode 20, and shockingly, it's about rape.
What?
I know. SVU discovers that a college may be covering up rape accusations. Ooh,
ooh, ooh. Is it Hudson University?
It's not Hudson University. What? It's TSU. It's Tompkins Square University.
One of the two universities that are in New York City in this SVU universe. Very true.
In SVU, college girls get sexually assaulted at two universities, Hudson or TSU. Those are the only two that exist in the world of SVU. That other podcast I listen to where they cover SVU, people go to their shows wearing sweatshirts that say, I survived Hudson University.
Is it the lacrosse team that keeps doing it? Or
There was a lacrosse one.
I think in this one, it's the hockey guys or something like that.
No, not the hockey guys.
There was a lacrosse one. There was yes, because
I know that there had to have been a lacrosse one.
Yeah, because they did it like off Duke, yeah. So SVU discovers that a college may be covering up rape accusations against the members of a fraternity and shaming the victims into backing down.
Oh, no.
This is also a Barba episode.
Ooh.
Who is my favorite ADA in all of Law & Order. Rafael Barba.
Blasphemy, but okay.
What?
Is he the director?
He's the assistant district attorney.
Oh, okay.
We all know Jack McCoy is the best ADA in all of Law & Order.
Oh,
well,
I was going to say.
I prefer Rafael Barba.
Just like I always say Sean Connery's the best James Bond, and you always yell about Roger Moore, so...
I just like Roger Moore more.
Because he's been in more movies. More 007 movies.
But he's also in my favorite 007 movie, so that's why.
Who's the guy that was 007 once?
George Lazenby.
Okay, so the person I chose is in this episode. She plays I think she's kind of like a guidance counselor for the college. It's where they go to, like... Yeah, get help and everything like that. And so her name in the show, her name is Talia Blaine, and the actress is Carrie Coon. She is basically now just paid by HBO to be in all their shows. So she was on the show The Leftovers, where the people got like
yeeted.
Yeah, basically.
As long as she's playing a bad person, she'll do it.
She's now on The Gilded Age, and she's also in the newest season of The White Lotus.
Is it out yet?
Yeah, I think so. I haven't watched it yet, though.
Apparently, you see Arnold Schwarzenegger's kid's dick.
Yes, apparently you do.
Mm-hmm.
How is it?
I don't know.
He hasn't watched it. He's never watched any of The White Lotus.
He looks so offended.
I like it when she was...
I don't know.
She played that super lesbian that took advantage of old people.
Okay, this isn't the same person.
Oh, sorry.
She's in the movie we're going to talk about, but that's not who I'm talking about.
Got it.
Carrie Coon plays the sister. That's who I'm talking about.
Okay.
Yes. So this is actually one of my favorite SVU episodes, I will say that. Not just because of Barba, but... And this is one around the same... Like, my favorite time period for SVU is with, like, Barba. And Christopher Maloney has left, because I'm not a huge Stabler fan.
Wait, isn't Munch not in this one either? Because that's where I determine if it's my favorite.
I think Munch is in it, but he's not, like, you know.
Is he the acting sergeant? I forget.
I can't remember.
As long as Munch is there, it's good.
Okay.
If Munch isn't there, hit or miss.
It's not right. much.
The movie I chose to do with Carrie Coon came out in 2014. It was directed by David Fincher. It stars Ben Affleck, Rosamund Pike, Carrie Coon, and Tyler Perry.
Ooh, lord.
It is Gone Girl.
Nick Dunn, you're probably the most hated man in America right now. Did you kill your wife, Nick?
Everyone told us and told us marriage is hard work. Not for me and Nick.
As you all know, my wife, Amy Elliott Dunn, disappeared 3 days ago. I had nothing to do with the disappearance of my wife. I have nothing to hide.
Sammy got friends we can talk to?
No, not really.
You don't know if she has friends, you don't know what she does all day, and you don't know your wife's blood type.
Just being a good guy, so everybody can see him being a good guy.
Well, you really don't like him, do you?
All I'm trying to do is be nice to the people who are volunteering to help find Amy.
I will practice believing my husband loves me, but I could be wrong.
You ever see that guy in the glasses before?
Amy is the kind of girl who attracts admirers.
Whoever took her is bound to bring her back.
You gone, girl.
Around the room, had you seen it? Were you excited about my pick? Tammy?
I had seen it, and I was looking forward to watching it with Guido.
Matt? Oh, well, we all know you've seen it.
Yes, I have seen this. I should have known what I was getting into after I had was told to sit and watch this movie.
I mean, you're still alive.
Yeah,
so.
But yeah. I check under my pillow every night.
Yes.
I still do that.
Well.
Every night.
Be hypervigilant.
Was I excited to watch it again? No.
Okay.
It's traumatizing.
Guido?
Yeah. So I heard about this movie, and so I've avoided watching it until I had to watch it. And holy fucking shit, man. Bitches be crazy, man.
Don't make us crazy.
Listen to me. I would just fucking admit it. All right, yeah, crime of passion, whatever.
Yeah.
Fucking fuck that bitch. She's great at being a horrible cunt.
I love her. Well, this movie is based on the book Gone Girl by Gillian Flynn. So Gillian Flynn also wrote Sharp Objects, which is
such a good book.
So good.
Very good.
And book. If you haven't watched the series on HBO.
That's good too.
It's
with Amy
verbatim
Adams.
The book.
Yeah.
Which is kind of refreshing.
Because yeah.
A lot of times they'll take the book and they'll change everything.
Right.
Yeah, that's why.
Well, Gillian Flynn also did the screenplay for this movie, which is why this book is so close to the movie.
Yeah.
Same with Sharp Objects.
They'll just take that book and fuck themselves with a wine bottle. You know what I mean?
That's why she's always trying to get me to read the book. She's always trying to get me to read the book. And I'm like, I don't need to read the book. If you say that this movie is a spot on adaptation, I don't need to read the book.
Yeah. So I read the book. And she also wrote a book called Dark Places that they made into a movie with Charlize Theron and Nicholas Holt. It's good. It's not as good. So yeah, she wrote the book. She also adapted it for the screen. And obviously David Fincher, Seven, The Social Network, Fight Club.
Alien 3.
The Game.
Oh, fuck that movie.
The music was done by Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross, which are pretty much exclusive with David Fincher. Although they did do the score for that Challengers movie with Zendaya this past year. Did not get nominated, which is ridiculous. I guess we can't nominate things other than that weird Emilia Perez.
They also wrote the song Everything is Awesome for the Lego movie.
They did?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Totally out of type for Trent Reznor, but he totally did.
3-6 Mafia ain't got nothing on him.
Is this like one of those facts that Guido tells?
No, because I said it.
So it's not real?
No, it is real.
See? Okay. Exactly.
You don't trust anything. This is why women do this. Because you guys lie.
Oh, this
Liars.
Is why?
Yeah, this is why.
Yeah.
Not because they're fucking crazy.
The punishment doesn't fit the crime, okay?
So this movie had a budget of $61 million.
That's a lot of money.
And it grossed $370.9.
Most of it was spent on the contrast.
It's a lot of first dates.
Cinematography.
Of covering up Ben Affleck's back tattoo.
No,
it's a lot of CGI.
That's the thing that I always say about David Fincher movies. This is why we need blackout curtains, or we can only watch his movies at night, because
I don't think this one's as bad.
Oh no, it's
Dragon Tattoo is dark, very dark.
Pretty dark.
Oh. Did you say it was a dark movie? I think you did, because we had a light on in the room, and you were like,
"Yeah,
can you turn that on?"
It was so dark it sent Ben Affleck into a depression.
It's very muted color tones.
It was.
Yeah.
It was
lots
so,
of like grays was, and blues and beiges.
It was so dark that when Tyler Perry showed up,
all right.
It was a void
okay.
on screen.
Yeah.
It was just a void going, oh, girl!
All right. So this was only nominated for one Oscar, which was Rosamund Pike for Best Actress. She did not win, but
Who beat her? Aside from herself with a champagne bottle.
2014, so in the 2015.
I'm going to fact check you.
Why do I want to say, like, Kate Blanchett or, like, Julianne Moore, I want to say?
Julianne Moore.
And it holds an 88% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Thinking about her butt in the Big Lebowski.
Julianne Moore.
Look at me.
Still Alice.
Which it is a really, really devastating performance.
Yeah, she forgot she showed her full butt.
It's horrifying.
It's so sad. So sad.
But it happens all the time.
Yeah.
It's not as sad as when Jerry Lewis was playing Richard Belzer's uncle on SVU, where he was a homeless man who was witness to a rape.
Yeah.
A lot of rape in your show.
And then they found out that he was Richard Belzer's uncle, and then
he had like schizophrenia or dementia or something like that. Yeah. Did you read the book, Tammy, of Gone Girl?
I did not, actually. Okay.
Is it a graphic novel?
It's not. It is a
book. I mean, it's graphic, but...
I read it, and I was concerned when they said they were going to adapt it, because it is told like in the movie where we kind of go through her diary entries, and I'm like, this is not going to translate.
I thought the manga was better.
But it was excellent.
That's why I think you'll like Verity. You just don't like it because of all the hype, I think.
Well, I just don't like it because I don't think Colleen Hoover's a good writer, but...
Ooh, that's a hot take.
No, it's not.
I don't know these...
She's like, the last movie that came out was not super great.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of negative press.
The one with Justin Baldoni and Blake Lively.
Okay, go. Nope. Go back to the Fincher movie.
Okay.
Nope.
Zip. You say Balboni?
Balboni? Zip it. Okay. Nick Dunn, Ben Affleck, sorry. This is the opening. So we get this kind of, he's stroking the hair of his wife, Amy, played by Rosamund Pike, saying through a voiceover that he'd like to crack her skull and pick apart her brain to answer that eternal question married couples have. What are you thinking?
That's weird. I don't think that.
You don't?
No, I'm like, what do you want to eat?
Yeah, if you ever did that to me, it's what's for dinner. We're eating dinner, I'm thinking about dinner tomorrow.
Or take your shirt off.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, the like, what are you thinking? I don't think I've ever asked you that. Sometimes. I just usually say, are you okay?
You do, because...
You okay? And I'm like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll be like daydreaming or staring off into space and I'll look pissed.
Oh. Yeah,
you got resting like, bitch face. I'm like,
it's fuck? Usually resting bitch face.
Yeah.
Because usually what I'm thinking about the Monte Cristo from Bennigan's.
Do think about that sandwich quite a bit. Miss
that sandwich so much.
Yeah.
You can remake it at your house.
They're really hard to make.
It wouldn't be the same. A deep fried Monte Cristo sandwich. Oh, Bennigan's.
Sounds like a heart attack.
It's disgusting.
Maybe you shouldn't remake that sandwich.
So gross. It was
so good.
So this movie does jump back and forth in time, and it's told also with voiceover through diary entries and things like that. So we start with Nick taking out the garbage early in the morning. They live in Missouri.
The one downside of any Gillian Flynn novel is
they all take place in Missouri. Yes, they all take place in Missouri. So then he goes to the bar he co-owns with his twin sister Margot, played by Carrie Coon.
Oh, from the SVU.
That's why we're here.
Yes, that's why we're here.
Yeah.
It's the morning of Nick and Amy's fifth wedding anniversary, which is wood.
100.
And he expects
Carrie Coon. Yeah, Carrie Coon.
Carrie Coon does say that.
Wood. Definitely.
No, I tossed it in the Crazy Blonde.
Oh, you mean you would, Carrie Coon?
Yeah, would.
Yeah, okay. Would. And he expects another scavenger hunt. Every year, Amy does a detailed scavenger hunt.
I thought that was cute.
It's not insane.
She's a psychopath.
It's crazy.
Maybe not this year's.
I could see like...
The level that she did it is too crazy.
Both sides. I could see like her side because I do think it's fun and I think like it puts effort into it and it shows that you care.
Yeah.
But I could also see his side where if he doesn't get a clue right, she's probably like, you just don't know me.
She's devastated.
Like that. Like it's very like, there's a lot of pressure.
Like the first one was cool. Like when they fucked in the bookstore. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the gray lady was standing over there going, shh.
No, it wasn't Ghostbusters.
I couldn't resist the sugar on your lips.
Ooh. Well, speaking of that, we cut to the past where we see Nick and Amy's first meet at a party in New York. He writes for men's magazines. She writes personality quizzes for another. That's a meet
I would
cute.
Love to write
I know.
Personality quizzes.
Yeah, what kind of bread because are you, Tammy?
It was always my favorite part of reading Teen Cosmo.
Oh my God, yes.
To absolutely. Do all the quizzes.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And then you really believe them.
Yes.
Take this quiz, Matt. I want to know what kind of muffin you would be.
Ooh, or the ones that
lemon you make poppy
decisions.
Seed?
It's like yes or no.
Yes. Oh, like a
do
flow.
I like chocolate?
Yes.
Yes, I do.
You're a Pisces. That means you're
fucking hell.
What? Whatever.
You're a fish.
They leave the party and they get into an elevator, which I feel like this is an homage to Fatal Attraction because it's a very similar elevator that him and Glenn Close fuck in and Fatal Attraction. It's like one of those like industrial kind of elevators.
It's a freight elevator.
A freight elevator, yeah. They're walking around New York. They go by a bakery. There's sugar in the air because they're piping the sugar into like the bakery underground.
And sweet.
He wipes the sugar off her lips and kisses her. And then they go back to her place and he goes down on her. So
he's just in the lips or...
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good for him.
You think she got powdered sugar on those?
Way to put in the work, Ben.
That would be bad. You can get a yeast infection that way.
Well, that's why he went down there.
Oh, you never go past the mouth.
That's why he went down there.
That's why he went down there.
That's why he went down there to help her out.
You're so sweet.
He was just getting a good look.
And she likes him. And she's got fabulous boots on. Like, fabulous boots in those.
I feel
like he was extremely... Like, that's... It's like, okay, I'm going to put every effort in at the beginning. And then I'm going to make you love me. And then I'm going to fucking end it.
Love bomb. Love bomb.
So I told you, Tammy, you remember me saying this early on in this movie. I said, nah, this bitch is crazy. She's the fucking problem. If there's a problem in this movie, it's this bitch.
I'll solve it.
I had her pegged.
Not
was it
at
early?
This point, though. Okay? This was way after.
No.
Didn't you say in the He's Batman month that Fincher, Zack Snyder, wanted Ben Affleck to be Batman after...
One of my fun facts.
Well, stop stealing fun facts again.
I'm just good at remembering stuff.
You are.
I remember.
I remember stuff. I could do the quizzes if Allie made me do those crazy...
I would not do that.
I don't know, man. You strike me as more of like a bran muffin.
A bran muffin?
No,
not a blueberry muffin? Or
he's definitely not a blueberry
muffin.
I didn't mean...
You are definitely orange cranberry.
Ooh. Okay.
I didn't mean the Cosmo quizzes. I meant like the
I love a lemon.
Oh.
I meant like the scavenger hunts that Amy puts Nick through.
I like a lemon poppy.
I'm good at remembering stuff.
Matt Lindsay's a banana nut muffin.
He's a banana nut?
I don't like bananas.
No, I was going to go something more savory. Like he's not really a muffin. He's like a herb scone or something.
Oh, get out of here.
Oh, you're totally a fucking scone, bro.
No. Yeah, you're always
fucking scone ass.
Just because you don't like sweets doesn't mean that I don't like sweets.
Oh, that's true.
Dude, I bet you got raisins in you.
You're like a chocolate muffin that's basically a cupcake.
I am basically diabetes in a little paper.
I'm more of a scone. An herb chive.
Well, like, you know what he would
biscotti?
Be? He would be the one.
Yeah.
He would be the thing that's folded over and with the lemon.
The esfoyadel.
And you got esfoyadel?
A biscotti.
I love an esfoyadel.
You also got to make it in a bowl.
No, he'd be tiramisu. A dry biscotti. A pistachio. Chocolate dipped biscotti. If he
was, these are all delicious foods. Fuck off.
If he was a biscotti flavor, he'd be pralines and dick.
Pralines and dick.
Pralines and dick?
Okay.
Sounds salty.
Yeah. It does sound salty.
I like this quiz.
I don't anymore.
So it's
Neither did Ben.
So we're back to present day. Nick gets a call from his nosy neighbor saying that his cat is outside.
Your pussy's loose.
Yes.
Holy shit.
Literally and figuratively. He returns home and calls for Amy. No answer. He goes into the living room, sees the table flipped over. The glass top is shattered. It looks like there was an altercation.
A struggle.
So they call the police.
There's a spot of blood on the railing over there.
Detective Rhonda Boney, played by Kim Dickens, and Officer Jim Gilpin, played by Patrick Fugit from Almost Famous.
That guy sucks.
I like him.
And blows.
They inspect the place. Rhonda sees a small splatter of blood in the kitchen above the range. And then in the living room, they see a wall with pictures of Amazing Amy, a book series written by Amy's parents. So Amy is famous, we'll say. Comes from a wealthy family because of these books. Speaking of Amazing Amy, we then cut to the past, where Nick and Amy go to a party held by her parents, Rand and Mary Beth. Guido, did you recognize Amy's father?
No.
You didn't. You didn't recognize another movie he was in that you've done on this podcast.
I'm a terrible person.
Chariots of the Gods, Charles. They practically own South America.
Oh, no fucking way.
That's
really?
From The Thing, yeah.
That's amazing.
I didn't know it. He knew it the first second he saw him.
No fucking
shit, dude. Remember stuff.
Oh, he's good at remembering.
I'm the rememberer.
Yeah, so Rand and Mary Beth, played by David Clennon and Lisa Baines, they've released a new Amazing Amy book, and Amy has to go and then talks about how basically her parents stole her childhood and put it into the books, but made the book Amy better.
Yeah. The best version she could never
the
be.
The best version. Yeah, it's kind of, it's a little sick. I'm not gonna lie. The improved daughter, basically. God,
it's not an excuse to be fucked up person. Like, sorry. Yeah.
Well, it is difficult to live up to this perfect child.
Well, it makes murderers, does it?
Don't start and I won't be none.
I'm sorry. At the time,
I've got thoughts. Okay.
At the time, these books gave her a very well-endowed trust. And
she's not well-endowed.
And a brownstone in New York City.
The brownstone
City.
Is fabulous, yes. I will
so
say that.
So maybe she should just shut up.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, kiss those babies, shake those hands.
Well, she has to do some interviews, and while she's doing interviews with annoying reporters, Nick poses as a reporter and asks her to marry him.
Yeah, it's so weird, because right before that, he comments on her immaculate vagina.
He does say you have a world-class vagina. What? There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, I mean, he got a good look of it like day one.
It's probably really tiny. That's all I can say.
It's built for speed.
So then we jump back to the present day. Nick is in the police station. He does make a Law and Order reference here. He says, why do I feel like I'm on Law and Order all of a sudden? Then he goes, dun, 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 dun. See, I didn't even remember that when I picked this movie.
I did.
It's just kismet. It happened perfectly. So he's answering questions and he's kind of like this aloof fuck boy of a man who doesn't know his wife's blood type or hasn't called her parents and so doesn't know what she does all day, doesn't know who her friends are.
He doesn't want to know.
So he's just being Ben Affleck.
Yes, Affleck is cast perfectly in this role.
I think we paused the movie at this point and Guido's like, I don't know your blood type. I couldn't answer some of these questions. What is your blood type? I don't know my own blood type.
That's true.
You don't?
No.
Oh.
It's red.
I know mine.
Occasionally leaks. I don't know what type
it
is.
I know mine, but I have a card in my wallet for it.
Yeah,
what is yours?
It's A positive.
Me too.
Yay!
Oh my gosh.
We can give each other blood.
Hey, what are you, Matt? What are you?
I'm the universal donor. I'm O.
Oh, you give that O face.
I'm the O. Whichever one's the universal
O
donor.
Positive. O positive. That's what Heather is, too.
I think John's that also.
Oh, yeah, okay. Or no. He's the universal receiver. He's AB, I'm pretty sure.
He's AB positive.
You heard it here first.
He can literally get any blood. Yeah,
you heard it here first. All that. John's a receiver.
Sorry, John.
No, not sorry.
So he goes to call her parents and he finds his father, Bill, in the police station. He's wandered off from his like assisted living facility. I'm assuming he has dementia or something like that. They don't really go that far.
He's a drunk. I think he's a drunk.
He's only a drunk, but I think it's like, yeah, so it could be alcohol-related dementia. So Nick drives him back to the facility. Nick stays at Margot's house while the police inspect his home. A pregnant neighbor, Noelle Hawthorne, played by Casey Wilson. Bitch sesh. Casey Wilson. Mm. Love her.
She is an actress.
Yes. Well, we saw her when we saw Bitch Sesh Live.
Yeah.
Yeah. She claims to be Amy's best friend. Yeah, the accents are a little rough in this one.
She plays a really good dumb bitch.
I feel like the accents are just rough because it's in Missouri.
Missouri.
They have some of the worst accents.
Isn't it the armpit of America?
What? She calls it the navel.
The navel. That's right.
In the upstairs bedroom, Officer Gilpin says he found a clue in the unmentionables drawer.
A literal clue.
And it's labeled Clue 1.
It's a raging clue.
Oh, don't shoot clue goo all over the table.
I've got a raging clue.
Then we jump to the past. Nick and Amy have been happily married for 2 years. On their anniversary, another of Amy's scavenger hunts takes them to the library. Or it's like a bookstore. They fuck after they find Pride and Prejudice.
Man, somebody's got to clean
as you do,
up that table.
Yeah.
As you do, everyone gets horned up when they...
When you
just touch
when you
Pride
when,
and Prejudice.
Yes, when you read the most chaste book ever written. Not really. I read that. I love that book, but it doesn't really turn me on.
Gets the juices flowing.
They give each other their gifts, and because it's anniversary too, that's like linen or cotton or something, and they both got each other these exact same set of very expensive sheets.
That's so cute.
And she says, we're so cute. I want to punch us in the face.
This is so us.
I looked it up. Those sheets are like $3,000.
Wait, really? Excuse me?
Oh, yeah. They're like insane.
You can wait. They sell $3,000 sheets? How big's the bed?
Yes, they do.
Is it a normal size bed?
Higher the thread count. Closer to God.
You don't always want higher thread count.
You don't.
Because they're...
At what point did you just put silk on the fucking bed?
They're gross. Sweaty to sleep in.
We're back to the present day. Nick explains what the clue is, and he actually figures it out, which leads them to clue 2, his office at the community college where he teaches writing. They find some red panties, and they find clue 2, which He says he doesn't know what clue 2 leads to. He tells the police that, but it leads to his father's house.
Oh, because he's a liar.
Yeah. So when
Nick is a liar.
He's doing a little bit of lying, but still, I would be probably lying. It's not a legal lie.
When he goes to his father's house, he opens the door. The alarm goes off. He tries to turn the alarm off, but he can't. The code's been changed. The police show up, and they're like, you know, when I read the clue, I thought maybe this was the little brown house, because that's what it said in the clue. And then Nick says, nope, still blue. Just came by to check on it, which I do once a week. But shifty.
I don't think that's weird at all.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Ben Affleck.
So Amy's parents have flown in from New York. They have a press conference. And also, this is obviously loosely based off of Drew Peterson.
Scott Peterson.
They have a press conference. We see Ben Affleck. He's just not trustworthy. He seems a little too happy. And he smiles when they take the picture, which Scott Peterson did when his wife went missing. And people were like, why is he fucking smiling? And he was taking pictures with people who were helping him look for his wife. Very similar to that. Okay?
I remember
he's
that.
He's just trying to be nice to the people that are volunteering their time to help.
I know. Nick and Amy's parents meet with the detectives and they kind of go through...
Amy's parents.
I'm sorry. Amy's parents meet with the detectives to go through kind of her past and how she's had these issues with men. There was Desi Collins when she was in high school who tried to kill himself. Then there was another guy she dated who sexually assaulted her. And there's every time there's always these men that just seem to like... be drawn to her.
I sense a pattern here. Maybe that bitch is crazy.
Or NPH is a good actor.
One of the people that took a selfie with Nick Dunn sells it to, or basically posts it online. And then the TV personality, Ellen Abbott, who is obviously supposed to be, what's her name?
Nancy Grace.
Nancy Grace, played by Missy Pyle from Tim Burton universe. Yeah. Also was on an SVU episode.
She's on Dodgeball.
Dodgeball. The SVU episode she's in, her kids, she's one of those non-vax parents, and her kid gets measles and spreads it to like all the other kids in high school.
Oh, topical. That's happening right now.
I know, right?
Oh, God bless Texas.
So they basically start talking about how
it's in New Jersey now.
Oh, this was in New York.
Is it spreading?
Yes.
I'm sure. Great.
If only there was some sort of thing that could prevent this.
Nah. Yeah.
It's really hard to kill a healthy child. It's really hard. That's what RFK said.
Oh, now he's going back on his...
Of course he is!
Saying that you should vaccinate your kids.
Because people are dying.
Yes. Well, it depends on what the vaccination is for. Well, okay, if it's for a made-up cold that came out of China because of bats, then don't take that vaccination. But if it's measles that has been documented as a real thing and people are...
Look, okay. The brain worm read up on it and was like, oh shit.
Oh fuck, he's got worms in his brain.
Worms in his brain.
You know he's got a worm parasite in his brain?
I did not know
that. That is not a conspiracy theory.
So yeah, just, you know...
So he has a public platform.
Here we thought the worst thing that could have gone into a Kennedy's head was a bullet. But
oh my God.
It's a tapeworm.
Yeah, so like who talks? Is it the worm or the man?
I think
man?
It's the worm.
And at what point do you become worm and less man?
Well, when your flesh is not your own.
And he's also a very tan individual.
Well, I hear he has a gross protuberance.
Ew.
And beef swelling.
Ew. This is all disgusting.
This guy gets it.
So gross.
God Emperor.
I can't wait to see it on screen, dude. We're gonna. No, don't stop until we get big worm god daddy.
Not if there's a god, we're not going to.
Is this Dune or something?
Yes.
Okay. It's Super Dune.
So then we cut back to the past and we get a lot of like backstory. So Amy and Nick have both lost their jobs and Amy had to, her parents are underwater. They owe a lot of money. So she has to cash in her trust fund to bail them out. So now they don't really have any money. And then Nick's mother calls and says she has cancer. So they're going to move back to Missouri. They sell the brownstone, which is a gorgeous brownstone. And they move back to Missouri. And then we just get a lot of like unhappiness that he resents her. Their sex is terrible. Let's go to Outback, which...
She's not really into it. He just has sex to her.
Yeah, he basically just masturbates
which
on
is
her,
just
basically.
Gross.
She suggests having a baby, and he's like, that's the worst idea.
Yeah, he definitely doesn't want to put anything and in this blooming onion.
And in this flashback, he kind of pushes her and she falls to the ground. Then we go to Margot's house. This is for you, Guido. Nick's mistress pops in, played by Emily Ratajkowski, and we see titties.
They are fantastic.
Some really nice titties.
A beautiful young woman.
So he's banging
she
his...
She is so smart. She is so talented.
Brilliant, even.
She has a PhD.
I would say they're PH double Ds.
No way.
Yeah.
They're pretty big. They're pretty huge.
Ds.
Yeah.
Why do I feel like she's so small?
Well, if I could hold them in my hands, I would tell you, Tammy.
It's because she's so small and she's like 90% boob.
She's so small. So they are quite big.
They're like West Ham. They're massive.
Yeah.
Everywhere they go.
Or perfect.
He's basically...
So the red thong belongs to her.
Yes. He's been having sex with a student. Gross. She's also like 20 years old. Disgusting.
Actually, the red thong belongs to his future lawyer.
That's not recommended, Ben.
They have sex in the house. She slips out the next day. Margot is very annoyed.
Yeah, because he brought some bitch over to his house.
Well, she was in the kitchen cucking the whole time. Like,
well, she also says, like, we're about to have a press conference for your missing wife. I suggest you. Like, yeah, she just doesn't. And they're twins, so she feels betrayed that he didn't tell her. And they have this.
She was like, why is the floor wet, Nick? I don't know, Margot.
Can't believe it made me watch. Probably because
I just made this bitch skirt all over it.
At night, there's a vigil for Amy. Nick stands alongside her parents and tries to seem more empathetic and anxious to find Amy.
And then that dumb bitch next door just starts yelling about
Where's your wife? Where's your pregnant wife? Did you know she was 6 weeks pregnant?
How long has she been gone?
At this point, like 5 days, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, that does happen throughout the movie. It says like eight days gone. So he runs because... people are pissed.
Well, he didn't know she was pregnant either.
No, he didn't know. But when you add pregnancy to a missing woman, people are not happy.
I mean, this is America. They're not
happy.
They're like, well, he tried to get rid of her.
Pregnant white women do not just go missing.
Just for clarification, missing plus pregnant plus white equals public outroar.
Don't be missing pregnant and white at the same time.
Very true. Margot presses Nick about the pregnancy bombshell. He said he didn't know she was pregnant, that she didn't even want kids. He shows her a letter from a fertility clinic that they were going to start. And then she said, oh, no, I don't know. And then Margaret says, like, but who's going to believe you now? Like, now you just look like a guy whose pregnant wife is missing, who's happy and taking smiley pictures. Like, no one's going to believe you. The cops come over and they're kind of grilling him because now I don't think they've ever really believed that he wasn't involved. But now they
especially really that guy.
Don't.
Yeah, I think the guy cop. Yeah, I think Lady Never. Detective was.
She's not very impartial.
She gave him the benefit of the doubt. She was.
Yeah, she gave him the benefit of the doubt. I like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I mean, I didn't emphasize the Ben. That was all you, but sure.
Almost Famous douchebag was hating him the whole time.
So they come over and they say, like, look, you got credit card debt, and he has no idea what they're talking about. The golf clubs, the guitar, the robot dog. Then, you took your life insurance policy out on your wife. And he says, because she told me to. She did all of this.
It was her idea.
And then they get a phone call based off the blood that they collected from the house. Amy was pregnant.
What?
Yeah.
What's a twist?
They knew that she was pregnant from her blood.
No, they had a urine sample. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Yes, okay. Sorry. Okay. She'd gone to the doctor before she went missing.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. Yep. Cool.
Nick remembers the third clue. He figures it out, which takes him to Margot's woodshed, opens it up.
That's where she goes to beat off.
And there is all of the stuff that was bought with the credit card that are on the account that he has no idea about. And then with the next scene, we hear Amy speaking and she says, I am so much happier now that I'm dead. Oh, God. And that's the twist.
If only she would.
She's alive.
And that was when I stood up and I yelled, bitch.
Yeah. I told you, Tammy. I told you. I called it.
The audible gasp in the movie theater when I saw this movie was hilarious. I knew it was happening because I read the book, but literally it happens. Everyone went, oh, I was like, oh, people didn't read. Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, it was great.
This is America.
It was awesome.
Nobody reads
it. Because in the book, it literally is the flip of a page. You flip it and you're like, because I had that reaction when I read it. I was like, bitch. But in the movie, it's so much like, yeah.
Let's put a cape on her.
Yeah.
So in the book, did she have this calendar with all these post-its on it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She did.
She had the calendar, the diary entries. It's all great.
The calendar, but it's like she was...
The post-its. It's a schedule. Gotta be organized.
But it was a hypothetical. Some of them were like, well, if this happens, then this will happen.
She had multiple ones where it's like, kill yourself. Like, she kept pushing that back because original plan was that she was going to kill herself and frame her husband for her murder. But she is a sociopath who needs a lot of attention. So when she found out how much attention it was getting, she was like, oh no. So then we get to the morning of. Basically, this is now Amy's version. So it's kind of like we saw Nick's version. Now it's Amy's version. We see how she did everything.
Bitch.
Bleeding out, spreading it all over, cleaning.
Poorly cleaning it up.
Dedication.
Cleaning, like, but cleaning poorly the way a man would clean. Staging the crime scene, but like to make it look weird, basically. Stealing the pee from her pregnant neighbor to fake a pregnancy test. Like, this is smart.
You're totally smart. Not yeah,
it's one way to look at it. Or she's sick.
Or she's a fucking psychopath.
I just love the way she talks about that woman, too. She's like,
I need an idiot.
What does America love? Pregnant women. As if it's so hard to spread your legs. Like, she's so mean about these other people. Yeah. It's so mean. I love it. And we basically see that she knew that Nick was cheating on her. She saw them.
That was sad.
She saw him and Big Titty Bitch outside of the bar where he did the same thing, wiping the snow off of her lip before he kissed her. Dick.
Yeah.
Absolute.
Wait,
he wiped head with no knob.
No.
She's complicit in the dying marriage. Before he kissed her dick?
No, I said lip.
Her lip. Dick. That's what she said.
Her limp dick?
And this is a great monologue. Like, this is a monologue that they probably teach in like acting schools now, where she's doing the cool girl thing. Cool girl is hot. Cool, like how she changed herself to be who he wanted, basically, and how women do that.
No one asked her to do that. No one asked her to do that. She's fucking insane.
Then she, you know, cuts her hair. She dyes it a gross brown. This is something that I do tend to notice when I watch this movie. It's like, you know, she gains and loses a lot of weight in a very short amount of time. Like, when she's that mousy brown, she's a good 20 pounds heavier. And then by the end of the movie, she has lost all that weight. Like, well, she gains and loses 20 pounds in the span of like 18 days, yeah, basically.
When she's in the, you know, the house.
Desi's house, yeah.
Desi's house. She looks hot.
Well, insane.
Through
her
God,
body is insane.
Through God, all things are possible. Write that down.
Matt,
Matt from Always Sunny gained and lost like 60 pounds in... What?
Not 18 days.
He was gaining mass. Okay.
He was cultivating mass.
He was cultivating mass.
And then he lost it. And through God, all things are possible. That's what he said.
Okay.
First of all.
Jot that down.
She's changed her appearance. She's staying at this like cabin-like motel, most likely in the Ozarks, probably.
She looks like Charlize Theron and Monster.
Yeah. Even say it.
She befriends another girl named Greta, played by Lola Kirk. And she's just kind of like biding her time. She has the calendar with all the notes, like the checkpoints she's trying to hit.
She's got a travel fanny pack. She
has a lot of money.
With money in it.
Is the boyfriend in this part? Is he the guy from Tron Legacy?
Yeah,
or from
Boyd Holbrook.
Wolverine?
Both.
That's the same person?
What? Oh, Tron Legacy?
Yeah, Tron Legacy.
No, he's the guy from Wolverine.
The guy from Logan, I mean. Yeah,
yes.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, all right. Boyd Holbrook.
Yeah, because those guys are like interchangeable.
They do look, I like Boyd Holbrook better. Then we got back to Nick. He brings the box, because basically in the woodshed there was like a present for their 5th anniversary, and it is a Punch and Judy doll made of wood. And they deduce that she's behind it all, because it says something like, I know what you've done, and I know where you're going, up, up, up the river, prison. Like, they've realized that she has behind it all. Nick goes to New York City to hire Tanner Bolt, played by Tyler Perry.
Ew,
I love him in this role.
I think this was great. He's casting. Great. I don't remember how they described Tanner Bolt in the book.
Very believable first name.
He's a high-priced lawyer.
He's very tan.
He specializes in tough, high-profile cases, men killing their wives, let's say.
And he was on TV, like, saying, I want to defend him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He defended Osama bin Laden.
Did he?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But not Diddy.
No.
Not Diddy.
No.
He tells what... Ben tells Tanner what he thinks is happening, and he's like, okay, well, I'll get a private detective on, and we'll dig up everything. You go look at the ex-boyfriend who sexually assaulted her, and figure it out. So he goes and meets Tommy O'Hara, who was in like Superman versus Batman. Like, he's also in Argo, so he must be friends with Ben Affleck in real life. And he tells him how, like,
she framed him
for sexual assault. She said he raped her, and he didn't, but now he's on the sex offender registry, and he can, yeah, so it's
unfortunately,
he says the line, she's graduated from being raped to being murdered.
Yep, that was the first time she punched her own butt with a wine bottle.
Unfortunately for him, they went to the Brooklyn SVU department and not and not the Manhattan one.
Yes.
This one time at rape camp, I stuck a bottle up my pussy.
Oh my God. It's her butthole.
Why not? Por que no nos dos?
Dos. He also goes to visit Desi Collins, played by Neil Patrick Harris.
Love him in this
movie. He's great.
Me too. Again, the casting is so good in this movie. Yeah.
He's a very good actor.
He's the ex-boyfriend that tried to kill himself in high school. And
pretending
he's very
attracted to this woman.
I believe that he was into Sniz.
Well, actually, no. Remember in Harold and Kumar 3?
Also
He did say that it was all an act. He's just all in for...
He's drowning in puss.
Yeah. Him and Clay Aiken.
So, Amy kind of decides that she's not going to kill herself. She says, why should I have to die? Then she gets robbed by her friend and Boyd Holbrook.
Some friend.
Now she has no money, so she reaches out to Desi. And of course, he's so still obsessed with her.
He's been waiting for the call.
Oh, he's been waiting for the call.
Yeah, he's like Patrick Bateman.
He used to write her letters. They appreciate the art of letter writing. Then Tanner comes to Missouri. They also talk about all the places where the clues were, like the dad's house, which is where he would also fuck the big titty girl, and Margo's woodshed, where they would also fuck the big titty girl. And she was like, ew. Like, hers,
banging in the tool shed?
Carrie Coon in this movie. And she's just like, get a hotel. He's like, would have been on my credit card. Does she have one? Her parents play it. Ew. Like, they're just like, the banter's so good between them.
Well, they're brother and sister, too.
And they're twins. Like, yeah. Nick is going to be on Sharon Schieber, played by Celia Ward.
It's basically like primetime Oprah special.
Kind
right?
of, yeah. Yes. Yeah. To tell his side of the story. Tanner coaches him, you know, he throws gummy bears at him. They're trying to make him more likable without being smug. But then, unfortunately, Andy, the big titty bitch, comes out and admits that they had an affair. Again,
the
Scott night Patterson.
Before the interview.
The night of the interview.
Yeah.
Who got to her? The parents?
Well, someone found it, and she then, of course, came forward.
Oh, she came.
Well, no, because she was...
Several times.
She did the press conference with the parents.
With the parents, because then the parents are like, we now believe he is involved. And I love when Amy's watching it in the casino, and she's like, why is she dressed like a school teacher? The girl with the giant come-on-me tits looks like a Mormon missionary.
Yes.
She just learned about soaking.
God, I love her so much. She's so good in this.
Isn't she eating popcorn too? And like watching?
That's when they're watching the interview, mm-hmm. because he still does the interview and he does a fucking great job. And she's watching it.
He
basically in the interview indicates that he knows Amy's still alive and he knows what she did. Because he looks at the camera and like, I went out to the woodshed for you. And he covers his chin. She's like downing creme brulee.
But she's also actively coming.
She's turned on.
She's gushing.
And also, Desi Collins is a super gross person. And he's like, we have to move on. The sooner you look like yourself, because he does not like this, frumpy version.
No.
And she's like, I need time. And then he moves in. This part creeps me out every time. And he says, I'm not going to force myself on you. Okay, well, when you have to say that, that's not a nice thing.
But I've been waiting so long.
So you owe me, basically, is what he's saying. So get your shit together.
I'm a nice guy.
I want you to use my face as a saddle.
And also his house, when he goes through and he's like, these are pillows and it's Japanese. And
here's a gym over here.
Oh, my God.
You fat bitch.
Yeah.
Hand stroke motion.
And look at all of my cameras. So you're super
cameras.
Safe.
Yeah, that's what it's for, your safety.
Here's hair dye.
It's for your
safety. Sooner you look like yourself, the sooner you'll feel better. And she's just like, oh, so one prison to another. Great. Wonderful.
And then the next scene, it's like 2 weeks later, and she's literally looking like...
Looking cool.
It is like 8 days. It's eight glorified. Days, and she is a sex pot at this point.
Yes. Sex pot is the perfect description.
She has
cigarettes
wearing, like,
and vodka.
Lace.
The hair is perfect.
Lacy, silken negligees, walking around the house with her like tight bob.
Yeah.
Blonde bombshell. Like pouring his coffee.
Yeah. So when he leaves, she kind of like, she kisses him, she bites his lip, she unruffles his shirt. She's like, come home to me later. Then she ties the slip to her robe around her leg. She takes her nightie and dumps it into cranberry juice to make it look like she's bleeding. And she crawls over to the window where a camera would be and screams like, and then looks at her like, ah, I've been raped, like that. So, because that's all the
bitch,
that's the camera's catching it. So they'll,
and then she
rapes
herself with a wine bottle.
So then she prepares to, let's say, escape, because Desi's not going to let her go. Like, he's just as unbalanced,
he's insane.
We'll say. So she's getting ready. She's got a box cutter. She's got a bottle of wine.
This is a core memory for me now.
She creates her injuries, so we see her basically sodomize herself with a bottle of wine. She's also doing this thing with rope to make it look like her wrists have been...
Bound.
And then he comes home and they start to do it, which I never need to see Neil Patrick Harris have sex with a woman, I don't think, ever.
But it's so funny when he does it in Harold and Kumar.
Well, that's hysterical.
Well, yeah, they have a bottomless party. That's nice.
So they're fucking. He's about to come. She reaches under the pillow.
He's like, let's slow down and savor the moment.
Pulls out a scalpel, and just as he's about to come, she slices his throat, blood everywhere, but she continues to move to get that.
Oh, she comes.
She wants the spunk.
Oh, yeah. Let this be a PSA to all of our male listeners.
Yeah, just be gay.
Always check under the pillow.
Yeah.
Always check under the pillow.
I also love...
marry crazy bitches.
I love
we keep the remote under the pillow.
Yeah.
Always check under.
I love the sound in this too, because it's like brr, it's like that bass that like David Fincher does a lot, or it's kind of like Dooney. It's very like bong, like as
oh like Inception.
Yes, kind of like Inception a little bit too. And so he's dead. We do see his wiener, a dead wiener.
I didn't see any wieners.
There's two wieners in this movie, Tammy.
Covered in blood. You didn't see that?
You see a dead wiener. And I love also how she like literally is like, okay, let's go.
Like she got high.
I mean, she no feelings whatsoever. I love crazy. It. It's so amazing.
Because she's fucking crazy.
Blood.
Crazy.
So now we are.
She cut him from one side to the other side.
Yeah. It's now been a month. A full month since she's been gone. 30 days gone. Nick's fallen asleep on his couch and he wakes up to a crash and he comes outside and it's Amy covered in blood, walking. And then she collapses into his arms and in her ear he says, you fucking bitch.
Yeah. And then she says, Amy, want Nick.
Amy, want Nick.
Amy, want husband. Ugly TV host. Go away.
At the hospital, Amy is interviewed by a room full of police. And now Rhonda is like, now that I know that you didn't kill... She's like, this bitch. She absolutely did everything that he said she did. Like,
I think that, you know, she chose to change that plan when she saw that interview.
She
saw his...
His swagger. Oh, yeah.
She thought that he was reaching out to her like, come home. I know what you're doing and we'll be fine. She thought he was giving her a message like, it's okay. Come home.
Yeah.
We'll be fine.
It changed. Like,
it changed in her mind. Absolutely. Yeah. She was turned on by it, I think. Because as soon as they go inside,
she's like, my husband's back.
When they get back from the hospital, and I love what she says to the copper. She's like, if this case had been left in your deeply incompetent hands. I'm like, whew, this bitch is on painkillers and still eviscerates. So when they come back, as soon as they close the door, she's like, you were wonderful. I got your message. She's still covered in the blood. They go up to the shower because she needs to make sure that he's not wearing a wire. This is when we see Ben Affleck peen. Very quick. From the side.
It's side cock.
It's side cock. It still looks pretty nice.
Side boobs are nice.
And
nice.
We didn't see the Phoenix tattoo.
Nope. It's
that's a
not
lot
on
of makeup
it.
On that back.
And so she basically admits and he says, like, I'm going to leave you. And she's like, fine. Poor raped woman whose husband leaves her. Like, and she basically says, like, sleep on it and we'll decide in the morning or something like that. Okay? And they can't prove that she murdered Desi. They have the camera footage of her screaming and looking bound. They have his semen inside of her. They have, you know, the fact that she was sodomized. So now we're at the end of the movie. It's 7 weeks later. Nick and Amy make their first public appearance together. And they're going to do...
butt stuff.
They're going to be on a special by Eileen Abbott. And he plans to say on the show, she's a psycho. I'm leaving her. This was all orchestrated until she presents him with a positive pregnancy test. And we find out that wasn't pregnant when she left, but she is pregnant now because when he went to donate sperm and then he got a letter from the sperm bank saying that they were going to destroy his sample. And she's like, you think they sent that to you? She made that because they don't destroy samples unless you tell them that they're allowed to destroy samples. They don't just randomly destroy samples of your genetic.
What, she just went to the clinic and said, give me all you got?
Yeah, she's on the account. Like, she's his wife.
She's like, give me all.
Did she bring her own turkey baster?
I don't know.
Spunk and kisses too. What
the fuck? I mean, probably.
Yeah.
Bitches be.
And he says,
she
like,
just put some on the toilet seat and sat down.
No one, and she says something like, I won't have to teach your child to hate you. He'll do that all by himself. And then he like slams her into the wall and he calls her a cunt. And she says, that's what you want. I'm the cunt you married. And then they do the interview. say they're pregnant, and we end the movie basically in the beginning where he says...
I like when he has his moment with the Nancy Grace bitch. He's like, you called me a murderer and a liar, and you said I was fucking...
I had carnal knowledge of my sister. She's like, I never used the I word. I said you were close.
Fuck, bitch.
I also love the scene in the end with the sister where she says, like, I can't be here for the next 18 years while you stay with this woman, because that's how long it'll be with the baby.
18 years.
It's 18 more than that years. Now. Let's
well, yeah.
Curious.
It's one of my favorite lines. He says, I need to know that you're with me. And she says, of course, I'm with you. I was with you before we were born, which always makes me sad because they're twins. And just like she's never going to leave him as her sister. Yeah. And it's just sad.
She's not going to, you know, live a full life herself.
They
you
sure,
know what I mean?
No, she's not now. She, yeah. It's,
she's, so she,
it's a disease so in the family now.
Head bitch has trapped two people.
So the movie ends and they end up together. A lot of people were annoyed by the ending. My father hates the ending. And I'm like, it's how the book ends. They deserve
just the
each
ending?
Other.
Your father
they don't.
Hates just the ending.
Yes, they do.
They okay. Well, they don't.
They're both
so
terrible people. Arguably, like she is more bad because of the, you know, the murdering.
Oh, yeah. Did Ben Affleck kill someone? Oh, yeah. Oh. How many people did Ben Affleck kill?
He killed her.
All he did was...
Not enough.
He took and
not
took
all the
and
way.
Took from her.
Oh, all my God. Because he didn't did ask her to move to fucking Missouri. He
his
just
mom
moved
was
to Missouri.
Dying.
Get the fuck...
Yelling. His mom was dying.
Because this is bullshit.
His mom was dying.
The punishment doesn't fit the crime, all
that
right?
That crazy bitch didn't like the fact that his mom was dying, and he had to go take care of his fucking mom.
Yeah,
the
she's worst the bad person. Not him.
The worst thing he did in this movie was he fucked a big titted girl.
Well, he only did that after the marriage was dead.
He ruined it.
No. She let it die, and then she got mad that he moved on.
Well,
fuck
sometimes
this.
We don't want to move to Missouri and go to Outback Steakhouse, okay?
Yeah.
Then use your words.
Sometimes you
want
to go to Chili's.
Harboring
Chili's
resentment.
Is a much better option.
Yeah.
All right. So, fun facts. Ben Affleck's weight fluctuates in the film, with him being a fairly average build to being quite large in the end. He is kind of muscular as a result of being cast as Batman in Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice.
I thought it was the donuts.
Reese Witherspoon obtained the film rights from Gillian Flynn in 2012 and decided to produce, and there were rumors that she was going to play Amy, and I remember when I heard that I was like, no.
Wait, like it's hard?
However, after her initial meeting with David Fincher on his vision of the film, she withdrew herself from contention, realizing that she wasn't the right person, which I totally agree with. I don't think she would have been a good Amy, but there are a lot of people that don't think Rosamund Pike's a good Amy.
Well, who's a good Amy?
I don't know. O'Donnell? I loved Rosamund Pike as her. But whatevs. So for her performance, Rosamund Pike drew inspiration from Nicole Kidman's performance in To Die For, which is a great movie, and Sharon Stone's in Basic Instinct. She also studied Carolyn Kennedy, wife of John F. Kennedy Jr., for her body language and aloof mood, which she does kind of seem like a Carolyn Bessette a little bit. Originally, Nick was supposed to wear a Yankees cap in one scene, but Ben Affleck, a diehard Red Sox fan, refused to wear it. Ultimately, he and David Fincher compromised and he wore a Mets cap. And the character of Tanner Bolt was initially written as an Alec Baldwin type.
A murderer?
No, the lawyer.
Oh. Yeah, but Alec Baldwin is a
murderous lawyer? I don't think that fits.
And that's my movie. Around the room, pass, fail. Tammy.
Pass.
Wonderful. I love it. Matt.
This movie is very traumatizing.
Yes. Is it a good movie?
I better.
Look, I'm not going to kill you if you fail it. Don't worry. I'm totally sane.
We're witnesses. She said those words. She didn't mean them.
Yeah.
Oh, he's covering his chin.
Which is a very...
I thought that's what the beard was for.
Yeah, that's what the beard's for. I've never even seen your chin.
Do you have a cleft?
No.
No, he doesn't have a butt chin.
He just has dimples.
No, this was basically the beginning of the end of my love affair with David Fincher. So I'll still pass it. But again, if I ever... I'm probably never going to watch this movie again.
Guido?
Pass.
What a good compromise, you two.
I think I mentioned this before. Like, I asked my dad, because I watched Gladiator one time, and I was talking to my dad. I was like, that guy who plays the Emperor, I just hate him so much.
Joaquin Phoenix.
And my dad said, if an actor can make you feel that strongly about what they did on screen, then they're a very good actor.
Agreed.
And I think that this lady made me fucking hate her guts, and I think she is a phenomenal actress. She's amazing.
She is.
I will never not hate her.
Okay.
Okay. She's a fucking stone cold bitch, and I fucking called it early, Tammy. You know it.
He also,
I want it on the fucking record,
has a lot of distaste for her because of the other movie that she plays in.
I Care a Lot.
I Care a Lot, where she takes advantage of old people.
I would hit her with my car, and then I'd back over her again.
She's a cunt in that movie.
Plus, plus he also really hates Die Another Day.
It's so crazy too because, like,
yeah, dude,
I know her from being Jane in the Pride and Prejudice, one with Keira Knightley, and she's so
very sweet,
lovely in that movie. So when they cast her in this, I was like, oh, and then when I saw it, I was like, damn. She's so fucking talented.
Looks like she can eat an apple through a fence.
Yes, horse faces. We're going to get to that in the next episode. Do you pass, Gone Girl?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Okay.
It's, I pass the movie.
We'll pass it all around.
I don't hate you because you're beautiful. You're beautiful because I hate you.
I don't know what that's from.
It's from,
Mean Girls.
Yes, Mean Girls.
Thought you were good at remembering stuff.
All right. Well, next week, Matt's pick for These Are Their Movies. Dun dun. Matt, quid pro quo.
My movie came out in 2011. It was directed by Craig Gillespie. My SVU guy, the guest star is Chris Sarandon. You may know him from The Princess Bride, from The Nightmare Before Christmas. You also may know him from the movie that this is a remake of. He is in the original 1985 film Fright Night, but I'm doing the remake. My movie came out, like I said, in 2011. It is the 2011 remake of Fright Night, starring Colin Farrell, Anton Yelchin,
Yum.
Chris Sarandon. And unfortunately, it's only available as a purchase or a rental right now.
And do you know the SVU episode?
Oh, yes. The SVU episode, it was season 8, episode 9, titled Choreographed.
All right. Well, we are at Quad Pro Quo Pod across Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Letterboxd. You can suggest a theme month on our website or via social media. And please rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. And until next week, thank you for listening.
Bye.
Bye.